Welcome to an ongoing series of daily podcasts from the agribusiness team at IHS Markit. Our experts will provide timely insight to help you in navigating the challenges of the global coronavirus pandemic across the agriculture and food markets.
Hi, my name is Elfie Middelbeek. I'm a senior urea analyst at Fertikon IHS Markit. India has been on a lockdown since the 24th of March, and this is still in place until the 31st of May. Although recently the central government has given the states more freedom to decide when to ease restrictions on businesses and industry and public transport, etc. So the country is a key fertilizer market, and with the monsoon ahead of us, India needs to raise stock levels of urea in order to keep up with increasing local sales at this time of the year. So last year we saw sales of 4.7 million tons of urea in August, and it makes it the second highest monthly level last year, only after December. So it's a very important time of the year. So tenders are held by the government through state-owned enterprises, and one of these open tenders was held on the 7th of May by MMTC. In the tender, just under 630,000 tons was purchased in the end, which was less than expected. And the reason for this was, for once, not the demand, price or availability, but reports of shortage of labor in the ports, especially on the East Coast. So many migrant workers had initially stayed put, but with the COVID situation getting more serious, more decided to leave for home. And this is leaving a shortage of workers at the ports. There had been more urea in the warehouses on the East Coast because India had bought mostly for that coast in the previous tender on the 30th of March. It was mostly that side that seemed to be affected. There's further uncertainty on the East Coast this week with Cyclone Amphan hitting northeastern India and Bangladesh, and we're yet to see the full impact on ports in that area. But going forward, I mean, normally the fact that less urea than expected has been bought is a positive, as it means India will have to issue the next tender sooner. However, there is a lot of uncertainty on the impact of COVID restrictions and what this means going forward, especially with, you know, what's the impact of tons moving through the states, where the demand is. So the current supply-demand balance suggests that the next tender will be likely issued at the start of June for full July shipment. And the hope is now, with some easing of the restrictions on a state level, that this will indeed be the case. But this is, of course, not just dependent on the monsoon this year, but also on how the COVID situation in India progresses, as the country entered the top 10 worst hit countries now with more than 145,000 confirmed cases. Over to you, Klaus.
Thanks, Elfie. As Klaus Keller speaking here, bioenergy and feed grains analyst from IHS Markit. The ethanol spreads over grains on the European market in recent days improved, and this came after lockdown measures from early March due to COVID-19 cut fuel ethanol prices. At the same time, wheat values were supported by some kind of panic buying for milling products on the local markets. Concern over crops in Europe, Russia and Ukraine on dry weather, as well as the weaker euro driving wheat exports. Meanwhile, prices for fuel alcohol are back above 500 euros per cube, against more than 600 euros before the crisis and 400 at the end of March. And Paris wheat futures retreated to some extent on improved crop prospects after rains. The situation for corn distillers against wheat distillers is slightly better on generally more advantageous economics for corn, and prices here did also not spike that much. However, the lack of fuel demand remains a concern for the European distilling sector, as growth in the disinfectant segment may not compensate lower fuel sales from Sweden. A 16% decline in gasoline sales for April was reported. In Spain, March sales were down more than one third. Demand side losses for fuel grades may decline in coming months, but it is clear that there will be no quick turnaround for distilling margins. Also, with higher DDG prices, as a sharp decline in grain prices is not on the cards. Despite the return of regular rainfall in Europe, yield prospects are not improving because of irreversible damage caused by dry weather in March, April. I will hand over to Ken.
Thank you, Klaus. This is Ken Erickson, Senior Vice President, Head of Client Advisory Development, Energy and Transportation, and our policy teams. Today, looking at the developments around China and what they announced a week ago about advanced purchases of commodities and anticipation of COVID's expansion and rise in various countries. And quite frankly, within their own country as well, as they start seeing different cities and communities open up, but then see some resurgence of some COVID in certain areas. However, as China is looking at trying to source a good supply of feed quality grains and soybean meals and oil seeds, there is concern about South America, and especially in Brazil. As we watch, Brazil is now the second largest confirmed cases of COVID and still in a very steep trajectory as it moves forward here. Argentina is not far behind. Much as Elfie was mentioning, India in the top 10, so is Brazil and Argentina, as they're starting to see the cases extraordinarily rise, and so much so that it's led the United States to restrict air traffic coming into the United States from Brazil and to limit what could be a spread of the COVID out of Brazil and the cavalier nature of Brazil, what's taking place. Now, the reality is Brazil has been exporting grains and especially soybeans at a very fast pace, and in fact will likely end the month of May at about 16 million tons, which would be among the highest volume that they've ever done in a monthly period. So while there is COVID going on, there is still fast pace of exports moving forward here, and perhaps it's just China's anticipation of a potential seriousness out of Brazil that's led them to accelerate purchases from there. But at the same time, as we look down the road here, you've got corn that's in the ground in Brazil, the safrinha crop, and that certainly will be starting to be harvested come mid-July through August. And it'll be interesting to watch how COVID might develop, because at least in Brazil, there are far more hands that handle grain in Brazil than you would see in North America, as an example. Whereas here in North America, we're seeing decent sales of soybeans and some corn, sorghum, and wheat to China, but not the levels that would be needed to meet some of the phase one of the U.S.-China trade agreement as we go forward here. But in the United States and in Canada, as we've communicated with some of our clients, the export grain logistics supply chain are very fluid, very dynamic, and be able to have very little cases of COVID reported anywhere through the system. And that just speaks volumes to the relative number of hands that are moving a unit of grain through the system as compared to South America. Very big difference in that regard, as you've got long haul moves by rail and by barge, and certainly protects the system as it goes forward here. But as China's looking to purchase commodities ahead of time, whether it's in the grains or it's in the fibers or in the meats and fruits and vegetables, there is some concern about what the supply chains might look like, and they may accelerate their purchases elsewhere as they try to secure their food supply for their country of 1.4 billion people. And it becomes more, food is more of a national security issue than anything for them. With that, I'll turn it over to Neil.
Thank you, Ken. My name is Neil Murray. I'm head of processed commodities here at IEG View. Well, the first thing that we've noticed is another sharp increase in US retail sales of orange juice. These have been declining for the thick end of 10 years, but last month, because of the supposed beneficial effects of orange juice and citrus juices generally, because of the vitamin C content, there was a huge rise in retail sales. This has happened again for the most latest four-week period, whereas the increase last time was about 50% across the board. Right now, it's still about, it's 30%, it's lower, but it's still very, very impressive. Interestingly, in percentage terms, the highest increase has actually come from the very small frozen orange juice sector, which does imply that consumers are actually stashing the stuff away in their larders, or rather at the bottom of their freezers. Whether this can be sustained, we don't know, because the rate of increase has obviously dropped, but it's good news for the orange juice industry generally. And another factor to be considered is that more people are having traditional breakfasts at home and they're drinking orange juice. There is, of course, the rider that retail sales may not have actually replaced the sales lost in the catering sector, in diners, for example, breakfasts in diners, let alone fast food places. In South Africa, Tiger Brands, one of the country's largest processors, has been hit by the same problems that were reported by Rhodes Food Group just recently. Their results are sharply down because they couldn't ship their large-size canned peach products to China. This was in the middle of the Chinese lockdown and the port chaos. Nobody was buying, and so they had to be, again, sold off cheap somewhere else. But they should recover there. Tiger Brands has also noticed a decline in snack food products, and they've moved more into bulk carbohydrate staples, simply because that's what the consumers are demanding. South Africa is still in a fairly serious lockdown. In China, whereas the demand for pecans slumped dramatically in January and in February as the lockdowns progressed, that particular market has picked up. China loves US pecans. They can't get enough of them. And in April, the US shipped nearly 750,000 pounds, I was about to say tons, but pounds of pecans to China, which is a monthly record. Over in Spain, the harvests, early harvests are underway, and the Spanish government is letting in Romanian workers across the border in order to help with the harvesting. And that's about all we have on the process side. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to get in touch with any comments or questions for us to consider for one of our future podcasts, please contact us via our website or reach out to any of our account management people or content people that you may know. We look forward to seeing you next time.